John Heffron, he's been waiting around in the Bristol Farms green room. He'll be performing at the Bray Improv starting tonight, December 5th through the 8th.
There he is.
Bray.improv.com for tickets.
Hey,
John Heffron on Twitter. What's up, man?
How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Good to see you.
I gotta say, it is very intimidating walking in with the doorbell, waiting behind the door there.
Mm-hmm.
That got my heart going a little bit.
See?
The anticipation.
And I'm in performer mode, because usually when you do radio, you sit down there and they're like, wait, we have a guest. Who? I thought he was supposed to be here Wednesday. He's here. Yeah, just sit down. Okay, wait a second. How many songs are back, are we? Okay, let's move that.
No.
Play Roll to Me. That's only 2.5 minutes long. We'll be able to catch up. Anyway, who are you?
Oh,
give me an example
awful.
Of some of the stuff you do on stage.
Do something funny. Say
don't
something
you hate
funny.
That?
Literally one of the most hated things.
Because you have done morning radio before. You did it in Detroit, right?
With Danny Bonaducci.
Danny Bonaducci. You still talk to Danny?
No.
You guys didn't end
that would be like talking. That would be like those ladies who were tied in a basement. still talking to their captor had he not killed himself. That would be the similar.
So do you still keep in touch with Ariel Castro?
Yeah, Michelle? No, I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, it was kind of, Danny, Bonaducci is who he is, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so I'm not saying anything out of school.
I know Danny.
But that guy was an interesting guy because you never knew what guy you were going to get.
That is true. We worked with him, too. And it takes a lot of energy.
Well, because, you go to work, you deal with somebody who's difficult. You know, okay, that person's difficult. I know what eggshells to walk on. But then when that person is the coolest person you've ever met on Monday, then Tuesday, you're worried he's going to kill you. Then Wednesday, he wants you fired. Then Thursday is, we're going to be syndicated. We're going to be everywhere together, son. And then, so you never knew, you know. But we were in a weird situation. The radio station we were on, we're very girl-friendly. So it was a lot. There's songs I hear from that era that even to this day, one, I think I'm late, or I just get completely tired because they were songs that I had to listen to at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I remember my first morning gig was at a female-oriented radio station, and Tainted Love has just been ruined for me.
Here's ours. Ours was Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven.
Oh, that's brutal for the morning.
I remember going to our boss going, hey, nobody wants to hear this song.
No.
Well, no, you know what we do? We test well. The song tests well. You're asking people at 4 p.m., do they like the song? Everyone's going to go, yeah, I like it. 5:30 morning, hey, want to hear about a dead kid? Not particularly.
No.
As you're driving to work?
Yeah, yeah. Or was that, or Leanne Rimes, How Do I Leave?
Uh-huh.
And I say, how do I leave? Because if you actually hear that song, she doesn't say live. She says leave.
How do I leave?
She's right. Yes. It'll drive you now for the rest of your life when you hear the song. I've just wrecked it for you.
Yeah, can somebody find that song? Because I want to listen to it.
She says,
right
how
now.
Do I leave? She doesn't even come close to saying live. There's not live.
Are you saying leap or leave?
I think she says leave.
Oh, L-E-E-B.
Like, how do I leave?
Maybe she's trying to, ingratiate, the Hispanic audience. How do I leave? Maybe it's that. Maybe it's, a little, she's trying to.
You got to hear the song. It was.
Yeah, somebody find that song. I want to hear it.
And then it was that in, Umbop era.
Oh, no.
Is when I did it. And then also, I went to a. One, if I told you the story, I got in a fight with Bonaducci on air, and we were interviewing Janet Jackson, and the producer wrote
in the studio or on the phone.
She's on the phone.
Okay,
and you know how those goes when they do about 700, so they're very friendly. And we're interviewing her, and Danny messes up whatever I think it was Velvet Rope was her album or something. He says something wrong, and the producer. He just starts going crazy. He goes, what? I have the wrong. And he goes over to the producer, and he's literally choking the producer. So I move my chair over to get him off of him, right? So
yeah, you break it up.
Now I'm over here, and then I roll back. So, Janet, how's your traveling been like? And then she would answer, and I'd go, what was it like growing up with all your brothers? Nobody's listening. And then I think, so then during that melee, Danny hits me, right? And he wasn't it wasn't a, vicious, I'm throwing a punch. It was just, there were hands playing everywhere. So he hits me, but he hits me so hard in the back of the head that I got a concussion. He literally hit me right. So I drive home that day, and the girlfriend I was dating at the time looks at my apartment and goes, why'd you buy a VCR? And I go, I didn't buy a VCR. She goes, No, there's a thing from a store. It's your signature on the thing. You go, I didn't buy a VCR. And then I looked. It was my signature. So I don't remember leaving the station. I don't remember. And this was in the 90s.
John.
Yeah, this was in the 90s when people bought DVD players. So he hit me so hard, I went back a generation of technology. Yeah, he actually – but it's funny. The radio station I worked at the time, I won't say the company, the next day I get – I forgot the amount, but I got a pretty decent amount of radio station stock.
And little hush money.
And me just being, you know, I think I was even in my mid-20s at the time. It was my one and only radio gig. I thought, I'm such a good sidekick that this major corporation is giving me money. Boy, my appearance at Industry Bar from 6 to 8, that phoner that I did must have been. I must have been, hey, everybody, John Hefford. I'll be here from 6 to 8. Stop by, get some cute collectibles. I thought I was so good that they would give me stock for no reason at all.
Oh my
but we
God.
Also got in a fight with Danny. And this was what's great about it is at a Matchbox 20 concert, because you know those concerts. Gotta be careful.
Yeah, hardcore.
Yeah.
You bring your chain wallet to those because stuff's gonna
you
pop
might
off.
Get pushed around.
Yeah. I remember at one point, Daddy took off his shirt and tried to fight an entire row of people. I'm not kidding you. I grew up in Detroit. This was at the Pinedown Music Theater. Row JJ. I'll still remember it because I'm standing trying to go.
The row
because he said JJ and Danny's yelling at an entire row of people. At a Matchbox 20 concert.
But what was the road doing?
We walked by, and one of the gentlemen who got free tickets and was forced to go with his daughter said, we suck.
Oh,
as we were walking by.
Somebody's a little insecure.
Danny doesn't like criticism of any kind.
But it was fun, though. Like, ever since then, you know what I mean? That was my one. So there were some exciting moments and stuff like that.
Speaking of exciting moments, we always ask our guests when they come on the show about the time they lost their virginity.
Oh, boy.
When you go back.
Young John Heffron in Detroit.
Yeah.
Young John Heffron in Detroit.
You were watching a house burn down and got all romantic. And
you're watching everybody leave the city.
As people are marching
by. Since you're
you.
The only one left in Detroit, we might as well, right?
I lost my virginity in a house that was cost a dollar.
I was 18 or 19.
Good for you.
I always hear those stories. And then now after the fact, you go to reunions and you hear about all these parties where there's always, you know, craziness going on. I was like, how come you guys never lobbed in a phone call to me? Uh-huh. Like, how did I not hear about this whole underworld of high school that was going?
Yeah, this 14.
The rainbow party. You hear about that, obviously, right? All the girls wear different color lipstick, and then you try to see about how many colors of the rainbow you can fit on your, you know?
No one interested.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Never. Rainbow Bright, I think. I've got to play with that as a toy. Does that count?
Well, back when I was that age, rainbows weren't even gay yet. I mean, they were still just rainbows.
Yeah,
I don't think
with a pot of gold.
I don't think gays actually took possession of the rainbow when I was that
age.
Yeah,
I don't know when that happened.
But when I was in high school, I think in high school I wrestled my junior year, I wrestled 98 pounds. Maybe towards my senior year, I bulked up and wrestled 105, and that was like about 5'4". So,
yeah. Okay.
I was very Michael Anthony Hall-ish.
Okay.
I was that kid.
Was it a charity lay from some female in high school, or was she older?
Or a girlfriend?
I think she was from a neighboring one of our rivaling cities. And I don't even know. I think you could go to like one of those clubs where at the time when you were like 18. You know, like those all ages type really creepy places.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was that. And then I think I mentioned her name. I don't remember what her last name was, like to people who grew up with her. And they're like, oh, yeah, you and about a million other people. You know what I mean?
Oh, so it wasn't even special.
Nah.
But I guess guys don't care. Guys don't care as much about it being special, right? And you rarely
remember.
It's
probably one of the most, when you think about it, for everybody, guys or girls, the most overrated life experiences of all time.
I don't remember it. Like, I don't remember it being overly traumatic. Like, I think once it happened, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty much what I saw in the movies. Like I don't remember it being overly.
But did you have nerves about, I hope I'm good at this?
No, I could care less.
You didn't care. You just wanted it to happen.
I was just more excited. And I think now would even be kind of, not that I'm telling kids out there that you should. You should hold out as long as possible.
But
back then, once it happened, you had to get in your car and drive over to your buddy's house, knock on their door. Dude, you know what just happened? Like, there wasn't, you couldn't text them. Right. You couldn't call them and say, like, here, you were just driving around the neighborhood.
I got to tell somebody.
Yeah, I got to show up. Is the arcade open? I totally got to find. Like, so it was a little bit, so you got to hold
that's
it.
That's so true.
Yeah. I couldn't Instagram it. You know what I mean? There was no selfie of me and her beforehand. So
John's going to be performing at the Brea Improv starting tonight through the 8th. For tickets, go to brea.improv.com and follow him on Twitter at John Heffron. You still doing the podcast?
I don't do a podcast anymore. That's crazy talk.
You got out
it's a lot of work.
Heffron on Reap. What happened?
Yeah, I have Reap kind of went off and got all famous and stuff like that. And then I was, you know, every comic does a podcast.
Yeah.
And then I to stand out, and then every comic does a podcast and talks about pot, and then they show, and then every comic does a podcast where they want to prove to people they know how to swear. So I just, that bored me. That just really, and having radio experience, I could never, it just always seemed like I was doing it in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
recording
true.
A thing, and then we like doing really kind of, you know, you get in the moment, then your wife knocks on the door. Yeah, are you going to go to the store, or should I just go now? I'm like, I'm trying to do a podcast. Yeah.
It reminds me like when I, the on-air sign.
Yeah, it reminded me when I was a kid trying to make a mixtape, when I had my cassette player, and you're waiting for the song, and your mom's yelling. You're like, Mom, I'm trying to make a mixtape. And then you'd hear your song, and you'd hit record, then the DJ would start talking.
Like,
man,
shut up.
Oh, I hated that. Dude, you wrecked it. Now I got to wait till tomorrow's hot 9 at 9.
Yeah, when you're only doing a podcast, it really does take the magic out of it, doesn't it? John, thank you so much for coming in, man. Anytime,
I appreciate it.
Anytime you want to come back, 1-800-955-5567 is the number. We'll be right back. We are Heidi and Frank. Come back to 95.5KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these and to get the entire Heidi and Frank show. Go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.